Save big money this October at Menards. October is Fire Safety Month. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Get a Kidde direct wire smoke alarm. A hardwired smoke alarm also has a AA battery backup for coverage in case of power outages. Save big at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is your ROH post show. We appreciate you joining us tonight. No TNA post show. They were doing a best of Bound for Glory type deal going on. So the storms, of course, affecting those TNA tapings. But we got you covered on ROH the best that we can, because I don't even know how we're supposed to review this episode. They just put in Samoa Joe and Kento Kobashi in the middle of this episode. He's not even around the brand anymore, SP3. I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't think they know what the hell is going on, but we're going to talk about it all. So get in those super chats if there's anything that you want to talk about regarding this episode, the overall state of ROH, the matches that are going to be at Wrestle Dream, which we're definitely going to get into because that is... They made some choices. They made some choices today, but... Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Sports and Things saying, what is ROH? I don't got a clue anymore, man. It's brutal is what it is. It's just so unfair to the talent, but we're going to talk about that all in a moment. We will also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I've been preaching it a lot on social media this week because this is one of those news cycles where Fightful Select shows up so valuable for just $5. I feel like from last week to this week, especially like Sean's reporting on the Lucha Brothers situation, I thought was so fantastic, clarifying what WWE looks like with it, what AEW looks like with it, what's going on with the Lucha Brothers themselves, explaining the difference between contract tampering and tort law and what that looks like. So much clarity provided around that. And then, of course, going into this week, we got the news about Shelton Benjamin. We got the news about Bobby Lashley officially signed by AEW on the back of us reporting about MVP, of course, being signed full-time. So the Hurt Syndicate coming together nicely. So much more contract news on the way. But, of course, that Warner deal that I was hoping maybe we'd hear whispers of this here show being a part of. But nothing revealed about that either way yet, I don't think, on the ROH side. That was initially meant to be shopped as a separate product. I wouldn't be stunned if that's the case here. But $185 million a year for Collision and Dynamite, it sounds like, plus the library and simulcasting on Max, which is so fantastic, and discounted pay-per-views along the way. Sounds like Rampage is going away, which I think everybody kind of agrees is probably a pretty okay thing. But we'll see what Shockwave might turn out to be. With Fox, there's a lot of information. All of the details, which were very muddy and inconsistent, clarified for you on Fightful Select, and also tons of follow-up questions that people are having. There is an Ask SRS Discord channel, and he will try and answer all of your questions, but there is also a Q&A show and a backstage report as well. So, man, oh man, if there was ever a month to get your $5 worth, this is it. But tonight... My friends, tonight we complain. Tonight we complain about ROH, so get in those super chats. Nobody that I would want on here ranting and raving with me more than SP3. SP3, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thursday nights is a good night because I get to hang out with Kate, and I get to ask like so many different questions and rant a little bit about the show that we are graciously, thank you, Sean, and thank you all the Fightful Select supporters who pay $5 a month, because I actually get paid to watch the show now, which makes it a little bit more palatable. But if I didn't, I would not be watching anymore because I don't know what happened to this show. I don't know. You know what they really need to do? If they're going to do flashback matches, send us back to Universal Studios and play those matches. Play Athena versus...
It's play too Athena, close to home.
Play Athena like, versus well, Willow.
We can't show them that we are better than this. We can't show them that we're capable when we care. We just have to throw them back to a completely different era. Like, let's start with the just horrendous news, in my opinion, about this Mark Briscoe, Chris Jericho bullshit. swearing inside the monetization window, I apologize, but I was so disgusted with the way that it was set up. I thought it was so out of pocket for them to mention Jay. Like, I get the using someone's passing for heat thing. It's Christian's entire gimmick. Eddie Guerrero did it. Randy Orton's done it, right? But this felt so unearned. Like, if it was, like, a vicious Dax and Cash run or something, like, just people that had hit Roddy Strong, like, people that had history with the Briscoes or were around in their golden era, that would make sense. It absolutely so disgusting and not like, haha, heel disgusting. This Jericho run sucks. This felt unearned. I have no interest in seeing this match. It's such trash to throw this on to the beginning of WrestleDream, which is supposed to be like another hybrid New Japan pay-per-view anyway. Like, why we're throwing ROH matches onto the 0 hour? I don't know. Especially ones that have had no real build. Nothing about that worked for me. God forbid we have a singles men's competitor built to be a contender for any belts. Because what are we going to do? We're gonna book Willie Mack every 8 months for fun. Like, why are you not using, like, singles men's competitors around? Shane Taylor challenged back in August for the world title and hasn't gotten a title shot. You are building nobody and your champions aren't around. I think Atlantis Jr. is great. I think he's fantastic. Why your titles are on Mark Briscoe, who is busy on AEW, oftentimes on both shows, and a guy from CMLL, I believe, to not even be on here is beyond me. And then you are not even building contenders on the show for that. Same goes with tag titles. Sabu Guevara comes back. Him and Dustin are for Texas. They decide, because they're in Texas, they're going to win. Same with the Von Erich relationship. That materialized because Texas. There are no champions that feel like they've earned it in ROH from the ground up. There are no contenders being built in ROH. They just keep hotshotting main roster talent. I say it all the time because that's their entire playbook with this shit. And it is so unfair to the talent that are there. Why we were watching the Infantry versus the Outrunners when they already had a non-title feud for no fucking stakes is beyond me. These two teams are great. They are hot right now. The Outrunners are obviously huge right now, but the Infantry has been working their ass off through this entire thing, and I swear to God, them just being like, I don't know, Trisha Dora's a valet and she'll eat pins every 3 months, fucking sucks. I am so sick and tired of this. And then the one thing that they put any creative effort into is the women's side of things, and they're not allowed to escape outside of ROH. They're not getting matches at WrestleDream. Why isn't Athena having a hot-shotted match at WrestleDream? Especially with the Hurt Syndicate around. Why would the Hurt Syndicate not be looking at the longest running champion in ROH history, which we are going to get a celebration for a month after she broke the freaking record? This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I am so fed up with how great the talent is, how underutilized they are, and the only time that they get to appear on AEW television is to lose at Collision because they happen to be in the locker room on the same taping. This is ridiculous. Rant over, your turn.
That was immaculate.
It went places I didn't expect it. I was just going to start with those men's singles titles and whew, we ended up at Athena somehow. I don't know, but.
That was absolutely tremendous. So let me break some of this. I'll give my opinion on some of the stuff you mentioned.
I'm going to hang up and listen.
The Mark Briscoe and Chris Jericho segment. Now, I added the segment. My initial reaction was that was probably one of the better Jericho segments that we've seen in a while. But that is like saying that Triple H is doing better booking job than Vince McMahon. The bar is in the center of the earth, so all he had to do was skip over it to be the best Chris Jericho segment.
Would be the first time he was able to jump for anything in a while, because he ain't jumping for suplexes anymore.
Yeah, like in a vacuum, I was like, this is decent enough. And then just thinking about it, sitting down and just being like, well, the Jay Briscoe part of this was so unnecessary. And I know the thinking to in the Mark part of this, who is a great performer, and the whole reason that I sat through that entire segment, besides having to review the show, is I was just watching it and I was like, well, Mark is good. If Mark said it was fine to do that, and I know Mark's thinking is, this is kind of the biggest star that I've been able to face since I signed with AEW and Ring of Honor. But that is his legacy before this year. Chris Jericho is actively one of the worst, if not the worst, weekly character in professional wrestling today. Like it's I was here for, hey guys, hi guys, and the learning tree stuff back when it started in like May or June. That is now like 4 months ago.
Because so, it started ironically and then turned into the truth. Like, it started as the Jericho Vortex, and then Hook couldn't get out of this freaking story for months on end and ended up fighting for the same title at All In this year as he did last year. Like, it started as tongue-in-cheek, and now it's just turned true. Nobody can escape this shit. We're still waiting on Brian Keith or Big Bill to actually get something out of this. So I'm with you, and I've heard a lot of people that were in on the wink and a nod part of it early and just exhausted by it at this point.
Yeah, I'm exhausted by it. It's like Tony Khan. Like I know you sometimes watch this show, so I'm just gonna tell you. Just give him a break. Just give him a break. I think that's the only thing to fix this is that you have to give him a break. And trust me, though the roof is not gonna cave in on AEW without having Chris Jericho on your television every single week, without haphazardly putting him in matches on pay-per-views. Does Wrestle Dream need Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho? Absolutely not. And you know what could have told you that, Tony Khan? Listen to the fans. That was a hot crowd in Pittsburgh. They literally, 5 to 6 minutes before Chris Jericho came out there and announced the matchup, they were on their feet for every little thing that Will Ospreay and Ricochet did. They booed Takeshita out the window. That's the most heat Takeshita ever had because he took away the matchup that they wanted to see. He got asshole chants and everything. And then Chris Jericho went out there and said, I'm going to face Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Wrestle Dream. And put the Roman GIF up. Yeah, no pop. And I was just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And the only reason they did any type of reaction to the Jay Briscoe line was Mark's basically expression and reaction to it. And he sold it great. And that's why I was like, that was actually one of the more decent Jericho segments. But it was so unnecessary. It was not in the right setting. It wasn't the right person to use that. I totally agree with you.
Unearned.
It needed to. Chris Jericho has never worked a day in his life with Jay Briscoe. There's nothing that could have said. He has no history with him. Like if he did see anything of him, it's only the stuff he's done under the Tony Khan banner of Ring of Honor. Like, we know that about Chris Jericho already. He hasn't been watching and studying the Jay Briscoe's work to even say that or earn that. So it was so unnecessary in this moment, and it did not need to be said there. So
the whole matchup. Not the guy for that at all.
The whole matchup and everything, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't fit. And I'm scared that this matchup being at Wrestle Dream means we're going to have to sit through the Nueve and another Chris Jericho Ring of Honor World title reign. And I already know you're thinking of why you're even going to do that, because you think, oh, that's going to make WBD get us a spot on True TV with Ring of Honor because
didn't
we got Chris Jericho. Exactly.
It's worse now.
Thank you. I was like, that, you literally go back to that. And it's like, that was when people started to be like, I don't know if I'm feeling Chris Jericho anymore. That was like a genesis, even though it was like a full year of that, where Jericho's feud with MJF in 2021 went on way longer than it needed to be.
Then he had the feud with the Blackpool Combat Club and Eddie Kingston that went way longer than it needed to be. Then he became the Ocho in Ring of Honor, and that was only like a 3-month reign, but it felt like 3 years. And that did not work to get you a TV deal then. It's not going to work in 2024 when he is actively the worst on-screen character in professional wrestling today. And I'm saying that as someone that has always been a Chris Jericho fan. I am done with it. I need y'all to take a break, put a pause on it. I'm not going to be up here screaming, please retire or anything like that. I think that Jericho can offer something if you give him a year break, a full year, and he comes back and he can come up with another gimmick because he has 1,004 gimmicks. Like you say, an armbar, he has 1,004 gimmicks. Give him another gimmick. Anymore. But no, like, it doesn't.
Past three iterations have been, I'm the leader of a stable that kisses my ass. That's the whole fucking playbook for this guy. And I'm so tired of it. It's just wrapped up in a different package. It's the same basic idea. The Jericho Appreciation Society and the Learning Tree are kissing Chris Jericho's ass while he's like, ha ha ha, enough. Enough of the same shit. Like, it's not even fresh and reinventing anymore. It just has a cool set with the tree now. So a load of...
And to answer the question in the chat, no, I don't think the fans would love Jericho even after the break because it went on too long. Like, he needed a break a year ago, and here we are now a year later, and it's like, you're still here. You're still here, and you still haven't taken a break. I think I'm done with it. I think that is why people are saying, please retire, because they're at the point of no return.
They think it's like cute heat, and I think it's go-away heat. I think people are genuinely exhausted by this. And you can hear it in the live crowds. You're absolutely, absolutely right. But the other thing that got set up tonight was Brian Cage for a reason against Atlantis Jr. I don't get it. I'm
Atlantis so Jr. has only been on the show like three times. Three times since winning the Ring of Honor TV title. For all of this, you could have kept the title on Kyle Fletcher, who's actually getting... But apparently Kyle Fletcher needed to lose the TV title to get a push on AEW. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with you taking the title off of him. But you couldn't find someone on your roster that could have took this title to show up every week? Atlantis Jr., he's doing great stuff. This is not a complaint about Atlantis Jr. He's a great wrestler. He's one of CMLL top stars. But once again, I want to repeat what I just said. He's CMLL's one of their top stars. He is the Ring of Honor TV champion, and he's barely been on this show. And when he is on this show, he's facing people that are very talented, but yet never get any pushes. And it's very obviously he's going to beat them. Or he was in a random six-man tag. Wasn't that against the Cage of Agony? And that was like 2 months ago, and you never followed up on that?
It's so ridiculous when you consider the same, like, the amount of people that are sitting at home or not doing anything, too. Like, I don't think Wardlow's injured. I think he's just not being used. Like, if the idea is that this is supposed to be a hybrid product with developmental, and they don't think they need developmental, they're out of their minds. Because how many people are just waffling right now? How many tag teams are just waffling around? What is Top Flight? Can someone explain to me what Top Flight is? Are they a tag team? Are they a trio? Or are they a full-on stable with Lio Rush? Nobody can tell me the answer to this. Like, it's ridiculous that this team that's been so over and is finally both of them are healthy. They just wrestle sometimes. We're kind of getting a story now, like with Action Andretti and what happened with Brody King or whatever. Where Andretti's all pissed and doing more than drinking water really fast, as Alex Plowski pointed out the other day, because there was a segment that his whole character was drinking water fast. Yeah. But, like, I don't know what is so broken about this picture. I don't know if talent are not in the ear of creative enough as they need to be. I don't know if they're not being listened to if they are pitching things. I don't know if nobody gives... I don't know where people aren't giving a shit, but it feels like nobody's giving a shit on that. Like, it is so heartbreaking. And then you go and throw Samoa Joe and Kenta Kobashi in here as, like, some gross reminder of how great this was. And the reason we all got invested in this brand, there is a lot of great wrestling that needs Ian and Caprice on commentary from ROH, not just because Ian and Caprice are two of the best to ever, ever, ever do it, but because some of those early ROH matches had... I'll just say, like, literally inappropriate commentary. When they were, like, a super indie... They had commentators who were not like saying unprofessional is the nicest way I could put it. Like, they were saying some horrendous shit because it was a very different era and a very different type of indie. So I like that. And the Rewind thing is so cool as its own series before the main event of the show makes no sense. Like, it's such a scattered product. And like you said earlier, like, we get paid to talk about wrestling, right? I'm not mad for me. I'm mad for the talents. I'm mad for the talent that are continually getting wasted, that are going out there and wrestling their asses off. It is not lost on me that you take your physical, mental, and emotional health into your hands as a professional wrestler every time you step into the ring. And they just can't be bothered to care to put together cohesive stories. And we know we're capable of it. Both times this promotion had their asses...
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Parked in a stationary location, it was a great product, which tells you it ain't the problem with the wrestlers. It ain't a problem with the wrestlers.
Nope, and this is the issue with having this is why what happened with when WWE had developmental. At one point they had Dusty Rhodes who was booking stuff for Florida Championship Wrestling while Vince did whatever he was doing on the WWE main roster. Then when it became NXT, they put Triple H in charge over there while Vince was doing whatever he was doing. And now you got Triple H doing his thing on the main roster and Shawn Michaels does everything. Like, when you have a developmental brand or you have an outlier brand, the best thing to do is to put someone else in charge. Having one guy book everything, he's going to lax off on one of the things. And this is obviously the brand that he is laxing off on.
But
it's already bad on AEW, where some people have long-term storytelling. Other people just do stuff for a long time.
I think I said last week they have a lot of hours of television. It feels like they care about two of them. Which is 100% how I feel. It feels like Dynamite is the priority and Collision is talent beating ROH talent right now. That's what that feels like. I'm sure that gets realigned with the new brand. Who knows what day things are going to be airing? Who knows any of that? But to just waste your talent is so insulting to them. Like, to all you have to do is care a little bit. All you have to do is care a little bit. We've done a lot of ranting. We're going to get into this episode shortly, but me, Norma, saying... I'm not here live, but a small sack of monies for hurricane relief, not just those in North Carolina. Acknowledge me, partners. Yes, I think I had it wrong. I had been saying super chats get donated to Hurricane Relief GreaterGood.org, but I think Sean is actually matching what our super chats are for the week, which is even more money because that doesn't include the YouTube cut, I don't think. So Sean is matching your guys' chats for tonight. So if you want events, that would have been like a $400 super chat that I would have had to send in because of the characters at the beginning. But feel free to send in your chats. They do go toward a good cause. Feeling Dreepy said you could have put Abaddon and Athena on the pay-per-view instead. Sure could have. Sure could have. But I guess we can't do that until spooky season officially is there. But let's get into this little nonsense of an episode, shall we? Ian and Caprice welcome us. God bless them for trying. They really do here. But we do open with our six-man tag champs, the Sons of Texas. Everybody thought I was being cheeky when I was like, they're only a tag team because Texas. And they were like, we're going to one-up you. We're going to name ourselves the Sons of Texas. So I was, thank you. Confirmed scoop there. Yep. Dustin Marshall and Ross Von Erich defeating the Premier Athletes. I don't know what's going on. I'm actually going to make a note to ask Sean that right now. It feels weird that Josh Woods is this absent. I don't know if he got injured or what he's been out for, but the trio not including Josh Woods is kind of odd here. I hope he's okay. He's one of my favorites to watch. But in this, you have the final reckoning from Dustin Rhodes on to Sterling here. I mean, we all knew this wasn't going to be a thing, right? This was a proving ground match. Proving ground matches rarely ever happen. And this was not going to be the trio to do it, probably. Mark Sterling was in here to take this pinfall in all likelihood. Decent enough match. Like, I think Mark Sterling is really kind of finding his own balance between silly stuff and the more serious presentation. Like, he's still very good at getting kind of that comedic heat, but making sure that his clients are showcased in a real deal way. All right.
I want to hand it to Smart Mark Sterling. He looked like a WWE female wrestler in Saudi Arabia, so that was really cool. He does
bring the gear when he's in ring, I gotta say. He does bring the gear.
Or all he needed was the headband, or he would look like a 50-year-old Jewish man at Central Park basketball court. Either or, he was good, doing good with the comedy in this one. And the Sons of Texas, Dustin Rhodes has all these titles. He's monopolizing every multi-man title in Ring of Honor, and it is what it is. It was a nice setting with this match. I think this was filmed in Arthur Ashe Stadium. I literally, my best part of this episode was trying to separate what was filmed in New York and what was filmed in Pittsburgh, and trying to figure out when it was filmed, but either before the actual shows, the actual Dynamites, or after the Dynamites. Like, the main event was filmed after Dynamite this week, and then this match was filmed before Grand Slam last week. So that was a cool.
We know where Samoa Joe versus Kento Kobashi was filmed too. So really, three different locations.
Three different locations. Hey, this was the next. This is probably the second best wrestling show I've ever seen that was shown from three different locations behind WrestleMania 2. That is not a compliment.
That is not a compliment. That is not a compliment, certainly. But thank you so much to Daniel sending in a generous chat here saying, hear me out, a pay-per-view at Yankee Stadium for AEW and then a go-home at Hammerstein will get everyone excited for this company overall. Last time wrestling happened there was 1950 with Gorgeous George. Wow. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, so I would be out of my mind about that. We'll see how the Texas Stadium goes, but I would love to see more stadium shows in the U.S., SP3.
Hey, I got an apartment right by Yankee Stadium. That would be very convenient for me to just, well, I could walk home from Yankee Stadium. That'd be great. I would love that. I'm with you, Daniel. Start the change.org petition and I'll sign it. I'll be the first name to sign it. Get AEW in Yankee Stadium. Do a Ring of Honor. I've been begging them for 2 years. See, I'm going to, once again, this is another plea to you, Tony Khan. I told you, the roof's not going to cave in if you take Chris Jericho off TV on AEW, but this is an ROH request. Just do one show at Hammerstein.
I know you got the money. You got the money now. We heard the deal. Congratulations on the TV deal. Now let's spend some of that money and get them in Hammerstein Ballroom for one show. Just test it out. Just test it out. I'm sure you're going to love it. It's going to be one of your best shows of the year for Ring of Honor. Just bring Ring of Honor back home. Or even if you can't want to spend money on Hammerstein, do one in the 2300 arena. That's another great place I've seen Ring of Honor. Bring it back to the East Coast, put it in a small building, pack it with fans, and bring some of the ROH vibes back just for a night. Just at least a night.
Restore the feeling.
Restore the honor.
Restore the honor, for real. Honor is the feeling. Feeling is the honor. You know what I mean? Like, it should be. But the other thing with the six-man belts is I don't even know who's a trio that's up next. Like, Cage of Agony seems like they could be. Brian Cage has a shot at the TV title. Jack Jameson and the Iron Savages could be, but sometimes they're just a tag team. Same with Top Flight, right? Like, I don't know who's in what division, so I don't even know who should be contenders. Never mind wins and losses actually dictating something on this program. So hard to say who would be next in this, but I guess we will wait until they decide something what feels like 10 minutes before they send it out there. So
yeah.
We move on to the Outrunners and the Infantry, who already had an entire feud that got settled, but now they're friends kind of, but facing each other, but then friends again at the end of this. Both of these teams deserve so much better. It made me so happy to see them in action because I think both teams are so great. I think their chemistry is fantastic, and I know that already because I saw it already. And this also has no stakes. There's no implications for this at all. We don't know if they're going to be going on to tag title. Like, there was no, there was nothing on this except for their relationship is different now. Like, what is wrong with giving them a fucking title shot, man? Like, I don't get it. Unless they feel like they already went to the Infantry well too many times. But maybe that should tell you something if they keep getting title shots and not winning. Maybe it tells you they should be champions because they're actually on the show and they're great and they have the crowd's investment and people want to see it. Give people what they want to see. I think people want to see the Infantry. The Outrunners, I don't even know what fucking show they're on anymore. Are they on ROH? Are they on AEW? Same with MXM. They were brought in to be tentpole ROH talents. We haven't seen them in forever. Good for them because they're killing it on the main roster.
Yeah.
Pick a roster. That's it. Solid match though. This was perfectly fun. This was perfectly fine. Do I have this out of order? I do have this out of order, but we're gonna talk about it anyway.
We're gonna talk about it anyway. It's not like they had any order to any of this anyway. No. So we can talk about it out of order.
I had my rundown and then the actual notes are in separate sections on my notes, and I've been so ridiculous and ranty that like I haven't even been paying attention to it, but that's perfectly fine. The total recall on Carly Bravo here for the win for the Outrunners, perfectly suitable match. These guys are great. We say it every week, right?
Total recall. Love the name for the Outrunners finisher. I think the Outrunners are, like I said, this probably is a surprise to AEW how over they are, but that pop that they got on this show, I was just like, how are these guys not the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions? If you're going to put them on Ring of Honor, you're at the point that they're so over, they feel above Ring of Honor. But if they're going to be on this show, you should at least be trying to build them up to get a shot at Sammy, the Sons of Texas, Sammy and Dustin here. So I enjoyed this for what it was, but I was totally confused because I was like, I had to do it in my brain. So all of this started when they were still in Arlington, when Outrunners won a match, and then the Iron Savages jumped them, and then Infantry came down very early because they were just enemies with Outrunners last year. They came down, made the save.
Earlier
they did
this
the
year,
whole.
I believe, yeah.
They hurt. Yeah, probably. You're probably right. Time is a complex thing at this point. They did the whole handshake. Then the next week, I think Outrunners did an interview. And then the week after that, Iron Savages did an interview. But we never saw any interaction between the two following that of Iron Savages and Outrunners after they got jumped. Then the Iron Savages did an interview last week, and they lost to Dark Order.
And then they're not on this show this week because they had to lose to Private Party in a minute on Dynamite. And then Outrunners are facing the team they just shook hands with. Like, yeah. if you weren't watching this week to week, this would be fine. But we are watching this week to week. So none of this makes sense.
We're trying to review the show. They make it very hard. Make it very hard with their editing and their erratic storytelling, but
none of this made any sense to me, but hey, Outrunners got the win, so I'm here for it. And I'm here for Infantry shaking hands, but also pushing aside the Outrunners, because at this point, we're at the point of like, hey, if you're just throwing things against the wall, why not try Infantry turning heel on the Outrunners?
I mean, it's kind of a double turn, sort of, but not really, because it feels like the Outrunners have been so over that their faces, but they have been wrestling heel-ish, so sort of. Honkin' Amazin. I wonder if you're an Amazin Mets fan over there, or if you're just Honkin' Amazin. But bless you both for doing this show. Can't be easy. You know, I've had more in the past couple weeks people say, like, why do you even bother? Like, why do you even bother with this brand? Like, they don't care. Why do you care? And it always comes back to because the talent's great. I want to review the matches that this talent puts on. I love the brand's history. I love wrestling. I love talking about wrestling. So, like, I understand that I can come across as a curmudgeon with it, but it's only because I want better for it. Like, it's kind of the same thing with NXT. I really, of all the products out there, NXT is the least for me. It's for some other people. That's great. And I will talk about my creative complaints with it. But I'm so glad that there's jobs for people in wrestling at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I like to watch wrestling and I like to review it. And I get to do it with you. Like, I have fun with you every week. So, and now we don't even have to deal with Joel at the end of this episode. So,
oh, this is wonderful.
It's better and better over here. But thank you for the chat. A reminder, leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. For some reason, more of you guys are tuning in now than were at the beginning of the show. I don't know if our volume from the rants, like, sept in to social media and you could hear us and you decided to tune in but we appreciate you sticking around. Quick reminder also to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much on the Warner deal that went up there. So much information about the Lucha Brothers last week. More talent signings and Shelton Benjamin and MVP. Get the details with clarity. Get the details with accuracy for $5 a month. I can't emphasize enough how valuable Sean's Ask SRS channel and Q&A shows are too. He will get answers for anything that he can for you. Lots of follow-up questions with this Warner deal, some of them about ROH. Like, was it included? What does it look like? All those sorts of things. Will it be on Max? So you can ask Sean and get your answers while also supporting us. It's how we get paid. So definitely appreciate all of your support there and the super chats from all of this week, the profits of which are doubled and, or not doubled, but matched by Sean and will be donated to Hurricane Relief, which is very, very cool of him. I think he said between him and Fightful, they've given about $20,000 away this year between his wrestling appearances and between the benefits that we've done on Fightful and his personal charity. So good causes all around. We appreciate all of your support. But I'll tell you what was not appreciated. This beast bomb from Nyla Rose. It wasn't appreciated by Katie Arquette, who I can only assume is the sister of David Arquette. Right.
I would think so. That makes
only
sense.
One Arquette in the world that tracks, I feel like. But nice to
There's
see
more Nyla. Than You're... one royal Arquette.
Wrestling has more than one royal Arquette. I'm now like picturing David Arquette and Cody Rhodes' ring gear. Which is fantastic.
That would own.
Man. There's not much to talk about here. Nice to see Nyla in action. I feel like her and Red Velvet would be a fun direction to go at some point if they wanted to do a title match there. Otherwise, she's just getting reps for the sake of getting reps. But I feel like her presence on ROH is a good one. They weren't doing a whole heck of a lot with her on the main roster. And she can just bring some extra cachet to the roster in ROH. And I think feel like that intimidating presence that they always want her to be title adjacent on the main roster. She can just kind of be that with anybody in ROH. So her sticking around, I think, is good. Not much to say here, obviously, but your thoughts about Nyla continuing in ROH?
Nyla is one of the people that, you know, you should be probably putting on Ring of Honor to kind of build her up, and she can have good non-title feuds with a couple of the ladies on this roster, whether it be like a Diamante or, when she's back, a Layla Hirsch, Trish Adora. How about we get Trish Adora in an actual rivalry instead of just having her randomly take pins every couple of months, so Kate has one less thing she has to complain about?
Cross and one off the list, baby.
Just cross run. Cross run out the list. Maybe Nyla Rose, you team up. Hey, I got a six-man tag. See, I'm trying to give Tony Khan some booking tips. Six-person tag team matchup. The Infantry and Trish Adora versus Nyla Rose, Serpentico, and Angelico.
Ooh, I'm not mad about that. Not mad about that at all.
Give us some backstage segments of the vibes that they give us on social media of Serpentico and Nyla Rose.
Love about that is it's like, can they coexist? And we're just so aware up front that they can't. Like, there's just something beautiful about that. I'm so in on that. But nice to see Nyla Rose kicking around. I hope that they continue to use her appropriately. I think she's someone that, as they're starting to build women's factions a little bit more, it feels like. Deanna's got this thing going on. Like, I think Nyla Rose is someone that you could certainly build a faction with or around. Like, she could play somebody's heavy, or she has so much personality, she could definitely lead a faction if they wanted to go in that direction as well.
Or they could take my original booking tip of Nyla Rose be the China of the Bang Bang Gang. Just because I want to see Nyla Rose interact with Juice Robinson.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
That's something that I just need in my life. So it's been like 6 months of me. No, it's probably been close to a year of me requesting this. So I'm going to keep requesting it until it happens.
Hey, I was saying that Kara Hogan should be in the Hurt Business. Because I thought that would be really fun. I also had said Athena being in the Hurt Business would be really fun. I love adding women to men's factions because, like, that's a really easy way to get to Athena and Marina Shafir, right? Like, there's so much juice in that idea. Like, there's so much fun in that. Adding Nyla to the Bang Bang Gang, hell yeah. Why not? Why not? Guys, continue to get in those super chats if there's anything you want to talk about. And we're going to talk about this MIT segment, where Athena asks what Billy Starks' problem is, and Billy says she's tired of Athena leaving her hanging while she has always stepped in and up for Athena. But Athena asks Starks if she was really there when Abaddon made her first attack, or their first attack. And Athena then tells Starks to step aside if she had a problem, or to join them and celebrate Athena's title celebration. Starks leaves and Abaddon appears from behind, following Athena out, and Athena is unaware. We'll say she's unaware of it. Cool, yeah, a month after this historic title reign. I cannot get over the fact that Athena won the in-ring Women's Performer of the Year for the Fightful Awards from a show that nobody really is watching all that much. Like, she's that good that just from what people have seen in on pay-per-views, which I think people are more apt to tune into, people are that aware of how great her in-ring has been. And she has this historic record-breaking moment, and they get around to acknowledging it a freaking month later. Like, are you trying to push her back to WWE? Like, what are you doing? Like, why is she not on the rest?
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Dream card. Why is she not on like any opportunity that you could give this woman? If you're not ready for a full main roster call up, why aren't we doing her versus Mercedes? Why aren't we doing her on Battle of the Belts? Like, what is the deal of leaving her in Witness Protection Program ROH instead of pushing her to the moon? I don't know what her contract is, but I'm sure WWE is watching and they have a new regime that probably wouldn't be like, you have to wear fishnets. So yeah. I'm thinking maybe capitalize on what you have with Athena so that she doesn't go elsewhere. The segment is perfectly fine. I like the dissension with Billy Starks. I love Billy's hair. I think it looks pretty in this color purple. It's fun. I like that they're combative, but the reasons they're combative are almost just like that they're ships in the night. Like, they're just not on the same page, but it's causing all this tension. It feels very accessible. Like, I've had moments like that with people in my life, right? Where you're like, you're not ill-intending toward me, but you're just not getting what I'm saying or where I'm coming from. Like, I like moments where you can be in either person's shoes and understand what's going on. So this is good stuff. If they let Billy Starks win, she is going to be OMG so made by this. And then we're, of course, continuing this kind of sub-story with Abaddon, who is allowed out because Halloween. So they will get their Halloween shot, I'm sure. Keep Abaddon on television. They're improving tremendously. I always love seeing them around. So let's not make it a Halloween gimmick every single time. Let them cook, as they say. But what did you think of our MIT segment?
I just have so many questions. So did the booking not realize that Athena was about to break the record? Is Ian the only one that knew that she was about to break the record? Did they not listen to their commentary team? Because Ian and Caprice were talking about it for like the last 6 months, that she was coming close to breaking the record. Could they not have filmed something like in the last couple of weeks?
That they could have media exclusive. Something.
Could they not like do anything on the actual television show that she's been like the face of for the past year? Why did it take, like, we've been complaining about this ever since she became the longest reigning Ring of Honor world champion? Is no one from the company watching, you know, us? Because we're here to help. We're here to help you. We're not just here to complain about stuff. We actually give you like pointers.
To be honest though, like, I'm 90% here to complain about stuff. It's like a 90-10 split. At least tonight.
I fully embraced it over the last couple of weeks because I've been so confused on what we are watching, because it doesn't feel like that. July feels like it was a year ago.
Oh my god, I know.
It was really two and a half months ago. We were like, oh man, they're here again. It was like 3 months ago
we heard, baby,
we're going to Arlington and we're going to care again. And then towards the end of that Arlington run, we saw all the signs that they weren't caring as much. They weren't careful. And then
their editors could not be arsed to care. Like, it's even this, we get Mark Briscoe and Taven tonight. I'm like, you set up a Wrestle Dream match yesterday. We know who is going to be the champion at the end of this, but Ryan Sully saying, hey, KSB3, bless you too for reviewing the show weekly. That's not good when we're getting two super chats that are like, bless your heart for reviewing wrestling.
I feel we're getting sympathy super chats. I'm here for it. We appreciate y'all.
You know what? We can wallow. I'll wallow with you guys. You want to wallow together? We get paid to talk about wrestling. There's no pains here, but Maury went out for Alex Sourgraff, who's going through it right now with the Brewers losing. Gonna be really sorry tomorrow. You know, it's so funny. Good for the Mets. I as a Yankee fan, I have no problem with the Mets because they never beat us, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's like,
I remember
like there's no real rivalry there.
Yeah, we always win, so I don't really have a problem with them. But it is weird as a Yankee fan not to be like in some like heart palpitating wild card game. Like, they have consistently been in that spot. And I'm like, I don't even know if this 90 plus win team is actually that good. Like, and I don't know, I don't feel like there's any complete team in the playoffs right now. It's very weird because, like, the Phillies were pretty close and then they fell off. Their pitching fell off. Like, it, I feel like this new era of baseball is, like, you don't have to be a complete team to get really far, but then nobody is, like, a super team. In the, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Parody.
Chris saying, truth is, Tony does not care about ROH. It's hard to argue with that. I would like to not think that's the case, but, you know, it's kind of like the AEW women's division. It was like, when it feels like as soon as they started to give a shit, everything changed. Like, it feels like whenever they're parked in one place and they have to plan stuff out, the product is great. And it feels like as soon as they take that away from us, the bottom falls out of the product again. So to me, where I'm sitting, it does feel like a level of care. But I don't know about your thoughts on that. It does feel like Tony Khan's kind of like, this is a back burner show.
I mean, this is why I asked. I was like, just put someone in charge that does care. You got Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Jacobs probably has some still care in him that he could take over, just lead him.
I don't know if it's still the case, but it had been reported that ROH has its own dedicated crew. I think just they tape on the same day as Collision, and it's like the Collision leftovers go out there and do stuff. Like, but it had been reported that there are specific bookers and creative for ROH. That was months ago, so I don't know if they kept it that way.
That was when they said they were going to care more when they got to Arlington, which they did care more for exactly 3 weeks in Arlington.
In their defense, they never said, we're going to continue caring.
Yeah, they just said, when we get to Arlington, we'll care. We're not going to tell you how long we're going to care, but we will care when we get to Arlington.
Finite number of weeks we are going to care so much.
You got to read the fine print, ladies and gentlemen. We are teaching you also lessons of reading the fine print. When we get to Arlington, we will care. Not as long as you would hope, but we will care. But I think that he does, because I don't think that Tony Khan would still have this brand running if it did not care just a little bit. I think he just cares a little bit, just enough to keep the brand going.
He loves wrestling so much. And look, there's been some real good that's come out of it, too. Like, Athena's run has been amazing. ROH was never a women-centric brand before. The pay-per-views always show out. Like, we've gotten to see sides of talent that we've never seen. We've gotten to see talent that we've never seen. Like, we're about to talk about Beef. He became your favorite wrestler. We wouldn't have even known him for ROH, probably. So,
saving the show. This show would have been, like, a 1 or 2 out of 10. Beef got it up to a 5. He got it up to a 5.
It's true. Anthony Henry and Beef getting the win over Anthony Catena. Sorry if I got that wrong. I hate it when I get wrestlers' names wrong. And Wes Barkley for the pinfall. The coup de grace from Henry to Barkley. Impressive to see from Henry. And then later we get a segment backstage for a tag team promo, but Henry continuing to clarify that they're not an official tag team. Beef tried to get the status of JD Drake and asked for his phone number, but Henry was like, he doesn't want to hear from you. There's a million trillion chance that he wants to hear from you, and we got the Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, which I always appreciate a good Dumb and Dumber reference, but decent enough match. This was just what it was. This was to kind of keep the Anthony Henry's the most popular girl at the prom situation alive, and the hesitation of who, like, I will team with you, but we are not a tag team, which is kind of a fun story, honestly. So not mad about that at all. But what did you think? I know you are a Beef enthusiast.
I love me some Beef, and Beef once again. Easily, if this show didn't have Athena, it would be like a landslide of who's the most entertaining person on this show. Athena's still number one in my heart and everything else, but Beef is right there with her because he's just there's something about him. He has that charisma on 10. I love his move, the what do you call it, the flying stake, as he did a backsplash on the dude's back. That was really fun. And then the promo backstage, oh my God, I laughed so much. What I think should happen, though, I think JD Drake should be in love with Beef. He should be a fan of Beef.
And that will just make Anthony Henry even more mad, because JD Drake wants to team with Beef. He wants them to not be a tag team anymore and be a trio, because they have been so successful together. They are now 3-0. Want to give it up to, you know, the ring announcer. I think it was it Arcady Aura or Bobby Cruz? No, it was Bobby Cruz this week. He announced, he was like, Anthony Henry and his second cousin by marriage. That was a great call.
Second cousin by marriage was fantastic. I think there is a story of Beef, if he does break separate, going. I kind of made this joke last week, but like, he should be, you cannot beat him unless you can lock in the cattle mutilation. That's it. That's the whole, he just goes on this run where he's squashing people, and then we find out his Achilles heel is the cattle mutilation because he's Beef.
That would be so cool.
I'm here to pop myself. But SP3, if I was going to lay money on who you would think was the most entertaining person on the show, I would have said it was Beef. And darn it, if I wanted to put my money on something, the first place I would look is BetOnline.ag, okay? I don't think they probably have prop bets on who SP3's favorite wrestler in Ring of Honor is, but they do have the earliest betting lines that you can get. They have so much information. You can bet on wrestling. It's football season. You can bet on football, baseball postseason. So much to check out. But I'm going to have Sean Rossett tell you about our friends at BetOnline.ag instead.
By now, you guys know how much I love BetOnline. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from BetOnline.ag. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks. But you know what? They got so much more to offer at BetOnline.ag. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline.ag. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. Baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games. Blackjack, Roulette, Golden Dragon, Inferno. Bet Online has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can.
BetOnline.ag, they've legitimately made a really nice investment in us. If you are doing anything betting-wise, we do encourage you to use them. And if you're not an online gambler so much, please just let them know you found out about them through us. Them and NordVPN have been partners for a while now, and they make really big investments in us and alleviates our costs quite a bit. And they are legitimately very, very, very reputable and a fun place to find out some information for your betting and throw a couple shekels their way. See what you can win. They've been pretty dead on with their underdogs and their betting lines of late. So I know closer to pay-per-views, we always try to do the rundowns of what their lines are and give kind of our feedback on what those look like. So head over to BetOnline.ag and check them out. Also want to take a moment to remind you guys, because there's over 3,000 of you watching across platforms right now. We appreciate that so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Feel free to touch tips in the chats or leave comments on this video touching tips. We love that from you guys. And we will remind you not only to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, but we will remind you of the upcoming Fightful Awards. I'm so excited about this show. We had over 35,000 views across platforms last year. Social media calls this year are going to be to over 500,000 subscribers between Sean's 305,000 that he has on his account. Fightful, I think, closing in or recently cracked that 200,000 follower mark as well. So much value that you're getting. We've already sold 10 spots. They're pretty affordable, especially for fellow creators. We try to keep the prices pretty well controlled for you. 10 spots out the door. You can request your category, but it's not guaranteed for this purpose. We had people get at them early. So if you're like, I want hater of the year, or I want gear of the year, or whatever, and you want to get those requests in, please contact me sooner than later. I don't want you to lose out on some fun spots, but really fun show last year. I'm anticipating it'll be fun this year because I feel like both products are a little bit more evenly balanced. Like last year, I feel like was WWE heavy. The year before that was very AEW heavy. So Some fun stuff there. The only thing last year that was like the biggest no-brainers was Ospreay taking like wrestler and matches of the year. The only reason he was almost in danger of losing either of those was he was splitting his own vote on the match of the year stuff. So FTR almost did that one year as well. So
and Will might do it again this year.
They very well, yeah. Will definitely could. So I think Danielson and Swerve might be the clincher, but everything else might look like Ospreay versus whoever by the end of this. So some cool stuff there, and you can vote if you're a subscriber. It's our way of kind of keeping people that are our riffraff voters out of the well, but it is subscriber voted, so it's not us just sitting around talking about what we like. We do that every single week for you guys. So feel free to subscribe to Fightful Select if you want to get in on that voting closer to the end of the year. But those sponsorship spots, $100 is kind of the standard of where we go with those. So feel free to contact me if you're interested. We appreciate it because awards are expensive to produce. I gotta be honest. So I was looking at the bottom line. I was like, okay, let's get on our sponsors early this year. So some good stuff there. But we move along to Kenta Kobashi defeating Samoa Joe, who is no longer on this program. I think they've tapped into something cool. I don't think this was necessarily the right spot. I kind of said towards the beginning of the show, like there's some inappropriate commentary from some of these earlier matches. Not so much this one, but there's some like old Nigel matches you go back and listen, it's like you don't want that commentary. A lot of really, to be quite frank, like misogynistic stuff that was said on commentary. Very different era than now. So I like them keeping the spirit of ROH alive. I like Ian and Caprice just adding some extra dignity to matches that deserve it. And I like them keeping the history of ROH fresh on people's minds. I don't mind them doing that with an episode. I don't like them doing that right before a main event. Tack it on to the end of the episode. Put it on as a way to warm up, I think. Get us excited about stuff. Love, love, love having the commentary of what's going on with the match and also the lens of years later being able to look through with two guys that have been so entwined into the ROH product. So they did a great job on this. I was just like, and this is probably something for like a person that reviews this too. Like, I'm like setting up my podcast. I'm trying to clean up my notes and stuff. And I'm like, we're sitting through this 15-year-old match or whatever. Like, and I'm waiting to get to my main event so I can wrap up my responsibilities. So that's also just like my responsibilities and how I'm watching ROH. But didn't feel like this was the right place for it, but I think they've tapped into something really, really cool. I would like to see it as a standalone series on its own, not entwined with episodes, but if you're going to do it, throw it on the end or in the beginning, I think, is the way to go. This episode was so damn short. I think they were just doing this to fill out time, but what did you think of kind of this, like, look-back commentary thing? I think it's a really, really cool idea.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you just said. It can be its own standalone series. Like, they can look at, like, Samoa Joe's greatest matches, kind of just take a couple of my lists that I've done and just put them as a one show with Ian and Caprice redoing the commentary for a bunch of these matches. This could have been, like, Samoa Joe versus Kenta Kobashi, Samoa Joe versus CM Punk, Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles, Samoa Joe versus Bryan Danielson, and you could have got an hour and a half of content right there. I think it should have probably been at the beginning of the show, end of the show, or even the middle of the show, kind of like an intermission in between stuff. It could have worked in that matter as well. I think it wasn't in the right place on the show, but definitely it will be something, even if they just wanted to have one match as like a throwback on these episodes. I think for a lot of the fans that, you know, are new to Ring of Honor, it would be nice to kind of have Ian and Caprice go back in time. And I think the best part of them doing the commentary was them giving like the history of Jay Lethal kind of being the young boy for Samoa Joe and how he eventually becomes the pure champion by beating Samoa Joe and eventually becomes one of the greatest Ring of Honor world champions of all time. And it's cool to kind of see who was around the ring, who was sneaking in the crowd to see matches like that. And I think that there are also ways where you can still hear you can blank out the music and still hear the crowd, because that was my first note this was Ian and Caris. I think that they could hear the crowd, but of course, Tony Khan smartly does not want to pay money for Mama Said Knock You Out for Samoa Joe or whatever Kenta Kobashi's theme was at that time, and he just blanked it all out. But we also couldn't hear the crowd, which was amazing. This is one of like the Ring of Honor events that I watched before I ever went to a Ring of Honor show, and that was one of the matches that I watched, and I was like, I need to go to a Ring of Honor show.
See this, yeah.
Especially in New York for that feeling of when Kenta Kobashi starts hitting the machine gun chops and the crowd is just going crazy and the sweat's flying off of Samoa Joe and his chest is bruising. It's just, it's one of the best matches in Ring of Honor history. 5 stars, multiple people gave it 5 stars back in the day, and it still holds up where it's still yes. like a great matchup that you can, especially if you've seen a lot of wrestling since then, you can tell. I had like 5 or 6 matches off the top of my head since 2005 where I was like, oh, they were really just based on this, based on spots in this
sure,
match.
Big time.
where you're trading the chops and you're showing off the fighting spirit and the crowd is going wild. I was like, yeah, there's many Ishii matches that have been just like that.
Sure,
or Shingo yeah. Takagi matches that's been just like that. And a lot of them, you know, modeled themselves over off of Kenta Kobashi. And I love Ian Riccobody because I'm a big basketball fan to go along with being a wrestling fan. And I love when he makes basketball references and referencing this matchup as a 2005 Kobe Bryant versus Michael Jordan matchup was just great. It was just great. Put a big smile on my face because I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan as well. So great matchup that stands up in time. It's just timeless in itself, but it was even great to hear Ian and Caris do commentary over it.
I agree. I think there's so much active AEW talent that has ROH roots. I like that they did this match. I think it would have been almost cooler if they were doing this on the way, like if they did the top five like you did, Danielson Nigel matches before we saw Nigel and Danielson at Grand Slam, or like Roddy's around, Cole's coming back. Like you could do so much stuff of how ROH has affected or shaped like the people that are on the current roster, and like if there's any yeah. ROH notes into what's going on with them, I think that's cool. And when you were saying like you could do all of those Samoa Joe matches, I was like, it would be so cool to have collections of like the Brian Danielson, almost like you would just have like DVDs, right? Like yeah. just do it as digital catalogs with Ian and Caris over it. I think they've tapped into something very cool there.
Yeah, totally agree with you there.
Well, coming down the home stretch, somehow this review has made it longer than an hour. I think the ranting took up a good volume of this. I was really worried this was going to be like a 20-minute review, but thankfully, SP3 and I are here to talk at you. So, final call for Super Chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video on your way out as well. But we do have this main event to talk about. Obviously, Mark Briscoe was going to win, and if you didn't know that, they set up a dream for us at WrestleDream between a match between him and Jericho at WrestleDream is what I'm trying to say, but I'm still annoyed, so I'm having trouble getting the words out of my mouth. But Mark Briscoe beating Matt Taven with Mike Bennett at ringside, of course, with the J Drilla. I don't know if Jericho beats him. I don't know if I'll ever recover if he does.
That would be so sad.
This was a fun main event. It was nice to see our ROH champion on ROH. That was neat. But when the outcome is inevitable, it's rough. When it's literally known, that makes it even more rough. And also, I think Matt Taven is a perfectly suitable wrestler. He's not the most for me in the world guy. Like, there's nothing about him that super jumps off a page at me. And that's just from a taste perspective. He's a great pro wrestler. There's nothing that I look at what he does and say, this is bad or this is not good. It just always, for me, feels like there's something kind of missing with Taven. So I was just not that tuned in, and considering I just watched Samoa Joe and Kenta Kobashi again, I was not like, that didn't hype me up for the main event. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this kind of didn't have my investment in the way that they wanted me to have investment in it, I think. But what did you think about our main event here as we close out?
I thought it was a solid enough matchup. You know, the Briscoes and the Kingdom have a long-standing rivalry, and this was another great call by Ian and Caprice kind of talking about their rivalry together and their big tag team matches that they've had here. And this is Mark going against Matt Taven. I do like Matt Taven. I think that he knows how to play his role very well, and he played his role here. Briscoe picking up another win, but I agree with you that there was no... I didn't bite on any of the near falls. I knew how this would end. It just depended on if it was a Froggy Bow or a J-Driller to get the win, and it was a J-Driller on this occasion. I think the most interesting thing about this matchup was the post-match, where we are coming off the heels of Grand Slam, where Roddy Strong lost to Hook for the FTW Championship and then showed like uncharacteristic respect for Hook and hugged Hook and walked away. And then we have here Matt Taven begrudgingly, but he's not only hugs and shakes hands with Mark Briscoe, but we ended the show with them raising Mark Briscoe on their shoulders. So it made me ask the question, is the Kingdom turning babyface? Because I don't think that's the worst idea in the world at this point. Like you kind of have exhausted any way to make them work as heels. And we've seen them as heels for almost a year now where they're just mid-carders. They're mid-carders at best. They're mid-card heels. They're not going to elevate any past that, especially without Adam Cole. So why not? I think Adam Cole is going to get cheered when he comes back. Why not try to turn the rest of the members babyface before Cole is back, and then we can have a babyface Undisputed Kingdom and see how that works. You already got a random conglomeration in every sense of the word of babyfaces as a babyface stable in this company. Why not try Undisputed Kingdom as a babyface team? And then eventually when you realize that conglomeration was a cool idea that probably should have lasted like 2 months and not as long as it's going, even though you're probably selling t-shirts, so good on you, we can eventually get Kyle O'Reilly to join up with his boys like he should have done when he came back, and he can be in the Undisputed Kingdom as a babyface.
If you are tuned to FightfulSelect.com, you will note that Adam Cole was reported as being able to come back, like, imminent, that he will be coming back soon. So babying them before Adam Cole's return is good, because I know he left as a face, but I think he's going to get monster cheers for when he comes back. So lean into it. You want to turn him heel down the line, that's fine. But you're right, like, they could use a refresher anyway. And with Adam Cole's return, I think people are going to be very excited to see that guy back. I'm one of those people that cannot wait to see Adam Cole back on my screen. So not opposed to that either. Only opposed to literally everything going on with all the title pictures on ROH. So awesome. Except Athena and Abaddon. Give us more of them, please.
Yes. Please.
But that is our show. We are just under maybe 9 minutes in the length of the entire episode. So good on us for being able to match their freak in that regard. All right. We are here for you guys. No TNA post show. If you guys are tuning in expecting to kind of see Joel here talking at you about TNA, there was a Bound for Glory super episode today. So they are off. Cresta and Joel both will be back next week, though. Looking forward to having them taking the stream over for us. But for tonight, SB3, you never really get to properly plug because we do the whole handoff. So why don't we do that? Why don't we tell the people where they can find you?
They can find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I do a lot of my content over at the True Heel Heat YouTube channel. That is TrueHellHeat. Wrestling, we got 7 days a week of content over there. I'll be live tomorrow, 12:05 p.m. Eastern time, reviewing the Mr. McMahon Netflix documentary with Chase Oliver. I'll also be there on Saturday for our flagship podcast, 11
11:05 a.m. Eastern time with the True Draw Josh and the lovely Miss Chrissy Love will be with us talking about this week in wrestling, everything WWE, AEW, New Japan, TNA. We'll be talking a lot about the AEW TV deal. So yeah, check us out over there. We got the True Hill Heat Sports and Entertainment channel where I'm talking about Power, and I'll eventually be talking about Agatha All Along. I just watched that before I watched Ring of Honor. So that's a fun show. So yes, check me out on all there, and you can see my written work at WrestleTalk.com as well as SI.com. I have a list of the top 10 best AEW Dynamite matches to celebrate the 5-year anniversary. Ooh, hell yeah. So you can check that out over there, as well as the top 10 greatest WWE wrestlers of all time. So a lot of cool content over there at SI.com. And thank you as always, Kate, I said it once, I'll say it again. You're my favorite reason to watch Ring of Honor, and we can have a rant together.
Back at you. Always happy to be here with SB3. Always happy to rant alongside SB3. Did want to acknowledge this quickly before we leave. There were a couple of injuries last night at ROH. There was a scary spot with Lady Frost and her opponent, and Sammy Guevara got knocked out during their match. We both wish them speedy recoveries and just healing thoughts their way. If there are updates on them, Sean puts that on the free tier of Fightful Select. He does not paywall health stuff. He finds that gross, and so do I. So I'm very happy to work here that he doesn't do that. Similar to the Luchasaurus update that went up. He was trusted to break that story by them. So stay tuned to the free tier of that, but he will have more answers for you than I can give you. So we're out of here. MS Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me here at Fightful Mondays behind the paywall doing your Sour Grapes Raw review, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays right here doing NXT, ROH, and your SmackDown reviews, as well as Wednesdays at the Mark Order podcast talking all things All Elite. Have a safe and wonderful rest of your wrestling week. We're out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.